Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are finishing chapter 29 and moving into chapter 30, starting in Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. This is God's word. "When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was unable to conceive. Leah conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Reuben. For she said, 'The Lord has seen my affliction. Surely my husband will love me now.' She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, 'The Lord heard that I am unloved and has given me this son also.' So she named him Simeon. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, 'At last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne three sons for him.' Therefore, he was named Levi. And she conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.' Therefore, she named him Judah. Then Leah stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she envied her sister. 'Give me sons or I will die,' she said to Jacob. Jacob became angry with Rachel and said, 'Am I in God's place who has withheld offspring from you?' Then she said, 'Here is my maid Bilhah. Go sleep with her and she'll bear children for me so that through her I too can build a family.' So Rachel gave her slave Bilhah to Jacob as a wife, and he slept with her. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Rachel said, 'God has vindicated me. Yes, he has heard me and given me a son.' So she named him Dan. Rachel's slave Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Rachel said, 'In my wrestlings with God, I have wrestled with my sister and won.' And she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her slave Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's slave Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, 'What good fortune!' And she named him Gad. When Leah's slave Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, Leah said, 'I am happy that the women call me happy.' So she named him Asher. Reuben went out during the wheat harvest and found some mandrakes in the field. When he brought them to his mother, Leah, Rachel asked, 'Please give me some of your son's mandrakes.' But Leah replied to her, 'Isn't it enough that you have taken my husband? Now you also want to take my son's mandrakes?' 'Well then,' Rachel said, 'he can sleep with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes.' When Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, 'You must come with me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes.' So Jacob slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, 'God has rewarded me for giving my slave to my husband.' And she named him Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. 'God has given me a good gift,' Leah said. This time my husband will honor me because I have borne 6 sons for him. And she named him Zebulun. Later, Leah bore a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son, and she said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add another son to me. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so that I can return to my homeland. Give me my wives and my children that I have worked for, and let me go. You know how hard I've worked for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor with you, stay. I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Then Laban said, name your wages, and I will pay them. So Jacob said to him, you know how I've served you and how your herds have fared with me. For you had very little before I came, but now your wealth has increased. The Lord has blessed you because of me. And now, when will I also do something for my own family? Laban asked, what should I give you? And Jacob said, you don't need to give me anything. If you do this one thing for me, I will continue to shepherd and keep your flock. Let me go through all your sheep today and remove every sheep that is speckled or spotted, every dark-colored sheep among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the female goats. Such will be my wages. In the future, when you come to check on my wages, my honesty will testify for me. If I have any female goats that are not speckled or spotted, or any lambs that are not black, they will be considered stolen. Good, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. That day, Laban removed the streaked and spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, every one that had any white on it, and every dark-colored one among the lambs, and he placed his sons in charge of them. He put a 3-day journey between himself and Jacob. Jacob, meanwhile, was shepherding the rest of Laban's flock. Jacob then took branches of fresh poplar, almond, and plane wood and peeled the bark, exposing white strips on the branches. He set the peeled branches in the troughs in front of the sheep in the water channels where the sheep came to drink. And the sheep bred when they came to drink. The flocks bred in front of the branches and bore streaked, speckled, and spotted young. Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face the streaked sheep and the completely dark sheep in Laban's flocks. Then he set his own stock apart and didn't put them with Laban's sheep. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob placed the branches in the troughs in full view of the flocks, and they would breed in front of the branches. As for the weaklings of the flocks, he did not put out the branches. So it turned out that the weak sheep belonged to Laban and the stronger ones to Jacob, and the man became very rich. He had many flocks, female and male slaves, and camels and donkeys. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Goodness, we've got a lot to talk about. What's a mandrake? Mandrake is a plant that many primitive cultures thought was an aphrodisiac and useful in promoting fertility. The fact of the matter, this is just a fact. This is science, not superstition. Not about the mandrakes, but about what I'm about to tell you now. God designed us so that our bodies give off aroma. Our bodies give off scent. And some scents repel people, and some scents attract people, and some of it is stuff we can't even consciously smell with our nose. There are these chemicals called pheromones. And pheromones have a powerful impact on us. We don't know why we find that person attractive. I don't even think they're that good looking, but somehow, wow. Pheromones. God made them. Primitive peoples didn't understand pheromones, but they believed that certain things, if we could introduce certain scents, it would cause other people to find us appealing and attractive. It's true. People have been using aromas for thousands of years. And not just aromas. Sometimes it's the presence of something else. Mandrakes, it wasn't apparently just the aroma. It was just the mandrake itself. There was a lot of superstition here. There's also superstition in the part about peeling the bark off of plants and putting it in front of animals while they're drinking so that when they breed, they'll have something that looks speckled or streaked or spotted. That's really not the way genetics work, okay? If you try that, I mean, you know, I guess I could blame my vitiligo on my mom's saw a checkered tablecloth, you know, but I don't think so, really, all right? These folks did things and totally misunderstood what was going on. And this story tells us, on the one hand, what they did, what they thought, what they said, and on a whole nother track running through the midst of this story is what God was doing. You and I have been taught a lot of stuff that's just plain wrong. Break a mirror, 7 years, bad luck. Walk under a ladder, bad luck. It's only bad luck if the person above you on the ladder drops a paint can or something. All right? A black cat crosses your path. Oh, no. Something bad is about to happen. Well, if you're distracted by the cat and you run into somebody, yes, something bad happens. But all that bad luck stuff, all that superstition stuff, that's a bunch of hooey designed by people who don't know God to distract from what is true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. That's not superstition. It's a promise from God. It is truth. The one who rules the universe is not the one who collects the most mandrakes. The one who causes the outcome of your crops and your flocks is God. You can buy the best seed and put it in fertile ground, and if God causes the river to come up and wash it all away, it's gone. God gives life. Human life, plant life, animal life, God gives life. God's in charge of the universe. He not only made it, He rules it. And it's interesting that God said, I am going to make a nation through which I will bless all the peoples of the earth, and chose a childless couple, a woman who was incapable of having children. And God didn't just make her capable of having children. He waited until totally past the point where there might be any hope. And then they have their miracle child, Isaac, and he doesn't get married till he's 40, and the woman he marries, who was clearly chosen by God, an answer to prayer. This is God's provision. Couldn't have kids. Now, what was Isaac's job? What was his great responsibility, his mission in life? Carry on the line. He's supposed to be the one through whom the promises to Abraham come true. But for 20 years of marriage, it wasn't happening. Finally, at age 60, he and his wife have twins. Neither one of them seemed to be real prize winners. Okay? Esau, you know, the outdoorsman, but married the wrong people, and was kind of a thoughtless, selfish brute who traded away his birthright because he didn't really value it. So he trades it to his second's younger brother. You're younger than I am. Only by less than a minute! Jacob is mama's favorite, but clearly a dishonest guy. Very selfish, dishonest mama's boy. And Jacob, very much an adult, goes off at his parents' urging to find a wife. And he falls in love. And the woman he falls in love with turns out what? Not to be able to have children. What is this deal with God saying, I'm going to form a nation through this line and then giving all these guys wives who can't have kids? Does that seem a little odd to you? Do you see a pattern going on here? As if God wants to demonstrate over and over and over, this isn't chance, and it isn't human initiative, and it isn't man's effort and willpower. God is the one who gives life.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So,
and he's holding out his hand.
When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was unable to conceive. Why? Because God didn't open her womb. Does your body have any problems? I told you about my vitiligo. I mean, I'm blotchy. If I get out in the sun, it's really, really kind of, you know, like, what's wrong with him? So I stay in the shade mostly, and people just say, funny guy. Every one of us in this room, every single one of us has something wrong with our bodies. Every one of us. I don't care who you are. Not me, Pastor Wood. I am a perfect physical specimen. No, you're not. All of us have got physical problems. Do you know who designed our bodies? God. Now, we're living in a world that is under a curse. And thank God, one day after this body has completely worn out, I'm going to get a new one. And that one's not going to have any problems at all. But meanwhile, you and I live in a world where stuff goes wrong. And one of the good things about that is it should make us long for heaven. It should cause us to realize this world is not our home. This is not what it's all about. If you're standing looking in the mirror all the time and saying, this is just too good to be true. I mean, something's very wrong with you inside the head. Okay? Because the fact of the matter is, everybody, everywhere, has problems. And God is still in control. God is still in control. So I wish God had made me different. I wish I was taller. I wish I was not so conspicuously tall. I wish I was leaner. I wish I could gain weight. Do you understand that we all want to change something about ourselves? There are people who buy tinted contact lenses so they can change their eye color. God knew what he was doing when he made you. Stop complaining. Realize that there isn't one standard of beauty. There isn't one way we're all supposed to look. We're not all supposed to be the same size. God has designed you with a purpose and a plan. He is the author of life, and he knows what he's doing. And so in this passage, you see people trying to manipulate the situation, whether it's having children or whether it's changing the way that the flock looks. You see people like Laban who want to game the system. Yeah, so you're going to take all the streaked and spotted and black goats and sheep? Okay, that's fine. Sons, go get all the... And he sends his kids to round up what he's just promised to his son-in-law. He says, take them 3 days away. He won't be able to find them. So clever. Jacob comes up with a plan. He's going to fix it. And God, please get this. God doesn't say, well, that's ridiculous. If you're going to be superstitious and try and do this, I'm not going to bless that. No, God says, he's doing this thing with the striped sticks. Give him spotted and streaked and speckled animals. Jacob's got this plan. He's working his plan. And God says, I already said I was going to bless him. I already said I was going to prosper him. He didn't prosper him because he did the thing with the sticks. He prospered him because he'd chosen to prosper him. He'd already said he was going to prosper him when he was at Bethel. God gives him prosperity not because of his stupid plan, but in spite of it. And the wives, I mean, are you impressed with that? What a picture of marriage in, you know, I want my marriage to be a biblical marriage. Like this one? What do you mean exactly? You know, you have to sleep with me tonight because I hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he goes, okay. I mean, this is terrible. This is embarrassing. Isn't it? Do you understand? That's not the way it's supposed to be. When you treat other people and you treat sex as if it's just something I do to get what I want, you are sinning against God. And yet God amazingly blesses these people anyway. Why? Because he'd already said he was going to. He'd already said that through them he was going to bring about the salvation of mankind. And guess what? Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Joseph. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work out. I thought Rachel's really the favorite. Well, the favorite of the husband, but not God's favorite. I read this list, and it sounds like Jacob was sleeping with four different women and having kids with various ones. And God takes that bad, foolish behavior and says, watch what I can do with that. I'm just, Pastor Wood, are you saying that sin is okay? No. I'm saying that God even uses the sins of us sinners in order to bring about good things. Is God approving of sin? No. Is God the author of sin? No. Is God causing people to sin? No. But God is sovereignly working through the choices of people in order to accomplish his purpose. That's amazing. God is the author of life. God is in charge of everything. And God is at work in every situation, even in spite of our plans to bring about blessing and salvation for those who are His. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.